I'm going to read our New Testament reading this morning first. It comes from the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We'll be reading from chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, verses 4 through 7. And it begins on page 1024 of your pew Bibles. It's important to note here as we read this text that the Apostle Paul himself is in jail, in prison, and everything seems to indicate that he will be executed at the end of a long prison sentence. But Paul, again, writes these words to the church at Philippi. So let us listen to God's word for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all people know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. Our Old Testament reading will come from the prophet Zephaniah. And we will be reading from chapter 3 of the prophet Zephaniah, verses 14 through 20. It is found on page 816 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear evil no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home. At that time when I gather you together, yea, I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. When I was 18, just graduating from high school, I wanted to get away and see a big part of the world, or at least as much of the world as I could see. So I joined the Army. And the Army accommodated me. They sent me to Germany for 3 years. And Germany is a beautiful country. Loved the people, saw many wonderful sights, met many wonderful people, made many, many friends. But I remember after being there just a few months how much I missed home, how much I wanted to go back home to the things that were familiar to me, the people who were familiar to me. I just wanted someone to bring me back home. Perhaps we've all been at that place at some point in our lives, desiring and wanting home, homesick for home. In our text this morning, that's what the Lord says, I will bring you home. That's what the Lord says from by way of the prophet Zephaniah. We don't read the prophet Zephaniah a whole lot. He's one of those minor prophets who didn't write a whole lot. The whole book takes up just a little more than 3 pages in your pew Bible. But Zephaniah is called the prophet of joy because the prophet is constantly rejoicing over and over again about the promises of God, about the promises of God to restore God's people. And one of the promises that God makes is, I will bring you home. We're still in the season of Advent. We are technically not in Christmas, but one of my favorite Christmas songs is Bing Crosby's rendition of I Will Be Home for Christmas. I was going to sing it for you, but I decided against that. But there's something about this time of year that heightens our desire for home. All of us, I think, have this desire deep down inside of us, this longing for home. Perhaps some of you will be traveling during the holiday seasons, going to a place called home. Maybe some of you will be anticipating home coming to you. An idyllic Norman Rockwell gathering of family and friends around the festive trappings of Christmas, and you're anticipating home. But we've all had that longing for a place, that desire for home. I realize, of course, that we live in a highly mobile, fast-paced world where many of us have become somewhat uprooted. Many of you perhaps are like me. You have been separated from the place where you perhaps were born. I've been here in Philadelphia for 16 years. Before that, I was in Atlanta for 15 years. But I'm originally from Missouri, Springfield. My mother is still there. Most of my siblings are still there. The little gray and white house on Texas Street where I grew up is still there. It is the place where I call home still to this day, the place where I still have roots. But some people are not quite sure where home is anymore. Maybe their parents have died. Maybe the house they grew up in is no longer there, or no longer belongs to the family. They no longer have any roots, any connections in the place. But they still have this longing deep down inside of them, as we all do, longing for home. The novelist Frederick Buechner acknowledges that the older we get, the more we go back to the days of our youth. Particularly, he notes, we go back to remember the place that was our childhood home. We remember the people whom we loved there, some of them perhaps long since gone. We remember the activities we engaged in, the books we read. We remember the games we played. But most importantly, we remember the sense of peace and love and belonging that we experienced there if we were lucky. And we long for that. We long for that sense of home. We long for it because God has placed that longing there in the midst of all of our hearts. That longing for peace, that longing for love, that longing for righteousness, that longing for God to be in the midst of us. God has placed that longing in our hearts, and it's in the midst of that longing that God speaks to us and promises that God will bring us home. That was a word of the Lord that the prophet Zephaniah brought to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem. There were people living in darkness, people living in fear, living in shame and guilt, living far away from God, far away from the land of Israel. They were people without any kind of future, without any kind of hope, people who couldn't even begin to see a future anymore. But it's in the midst of the darkness the prophet comes to them with the word of the Lord, and the word is to rejoice, to exult, to celebrate, to shout, to sing songs, because God is going to gather you. God is going to bring you back home. I was listening to the news not long ago. They were interviewing a woman, an immigrant. Can't remember exactly where she was from, but it was somewhere south of the border. And this woman and her family was really having a hard time here in the States. I don't believe that she was an illegal immigrant, but immigrants in general are having a hard time being accepted in our society. But they were asking this woman if she had this desire to go back home in light of all the things that was happening. And she said, yes, she would love to go back home. She would love nothing more than to go back home. But she said, the reality is I can't. I can't go home, she said, because of the violence and the poverty. If I go back home, me and my family will probably die. And so this woman felt cut off, exiled from the place that she calls home. And as I was listening to that story, I couldn't help but to notice that perhaps this woman's story is the story of all of us. It is the story of humankind. It is the story of being lost, being cut off from home. It's the story of sin, the story of our first parents, Adam and Eve. It's the story of being kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the place where we felt most at home, where God's presence was with us, in the midst of us. The story that the Bible is telling is the story of human beings who have this desire to get back home, to get back into the garden, to get back into the place where we knew we were loved and cared for, that God was in our midst. That's the story that the Bible is telling of a people desiring to get back home. But because of our violence, because of our fear, because of the hardness of our hearts, we can't get back home on our own. We are lost, stumbling around in darkness. But the word of the Lord this morning, the word that the prophet Zephaniah comes to bring is rejoice, exult, shout, sing songs, because God is going to bring us home. Last week we heard John the Baptist tell us to repent, to turn around, and that's what repent means. It means to turn around, go back home. The way that you are going, the gods that you are worshiping are taking you further and further away from life, further and further away from home. Repent, turn around, and go back home. It's the story of the prodigal son in Luke's gospel. The story of a young man who, like me at 18, just wanted to get away from home, get away from the people who loved him, get away from his father. And so he does. He goes away and he finds out the getting away isn't what he thought it would be. And sooner or later, he comes to the realization that feeding the pigs back at his father's place was better than what he was experiencing away from the love of his father. And so he turns around to go back home, to go back to the loving embrace of his father. Advent is preparation for the fulfillment of our deepest longing, the longing to get back home. I realize that when we usually use that homecoming language, we usually use it during funerals, when people that we love and care about pass away. That's what we say: they have gone back home. And that is true. They have gone to be with the Lord. They have gone back to the loving care of God. But homecoming language is not simply language to be used during funerals. Homecoming language is not just what happens to us when we die. Homecoming language is about the healing of this world. It is about God coming to us in the midst of this world. Homecoming is about a little bitty baby, vulnerable baby, who comes to us in a manger in the midst to save this world. That's what the Apostle Paul realized when Paul says, "Rejoice! The Lord is near. So rejoice, rejoice, because God is about to bring us home." There are times, even in the midst of the darkness of this world, that we have intimations of home, that we capture glimpses of the world the way it was meant to be. Sometimes we capture it in the fragrance of a flower, or maybe we capture it in the smile of a small child, or maybe we capture it in the telephone call from a dear friend, or a meal that we have with someone that we love, or maybe we see it in people of various backgrounds coming together in some great endeavor, but we capture it. We capture a glimpse of home. And when we capture it, it brings us joy, deep joy, because that's what home is. home is joy. The joy of the Lord being in our midst. And that's why the word of the prophet is to rejoice, rejoice, exalt, sing songs, celebrate, be filled with joy. Because there's more to this world than you can see. The darkness of this world is not the last word. Our being lost and stumbling around in the darkness is not the last word. The last word for each and every one of us, no matter what you might be going through, no matter how alienated you might be feeling, no matter how anxious you might be feeling, no matter how fearful you might be feeling, the word that the Lord wants you to hear this morning is that God is going to bring us home. Home to that place where we know we are loved, where we know we are cared for, where we know that God will forever be in our midst. Home, the place of our deepest longing. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this third Sunday in Advent, we ask that you fill us with joy. Whatever may be in our hearts that threaten to take that away from us, help us be filled with your joy, the joy of knowing that you are coming to take us home. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen.